Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tuesday. I'm in Baton Rouge. That's where I live. Scott Roussel, got college football experts John Bryce, Zach Barnett, Doug Samuels, football scoop staff collectively. LSU pulled the plug after being embarrassed by Texas A&M in Tiger Stadium Saturday night. Death Valley was taken over by the Aggies. An embarrassment for all. The most embarrassing thing was the players just giving BK, nah, bro, I'm not listening to you. That was one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen for a coach, for a program. It was, you knew it was over at that point. They made the decision Sunday, collected our thoughts yesterday, and here we are to share them with you. Gents, LSU needs a new head coach. Haven't done this often. You know, early 2000s, I hired a guy named Nick Saban. Nick had been, he had won 6 or 7 games a couple of years at Michigan State. I think he had won like 9 once the year before LSU hired him. Came down here and won national championship. Les Miles had been mid at Oklahoma State. I think he'd won 6, 7, 8, 9 games. I think his final year wasn't even that good at Oklahoma State. Comes here, wins a national championship. Was on staff. He had been a head coach at Ole Miss, interim at SC, and then was on staff at LSU. The three men that I just described, Nick Saban, Les Miles, Ed Ogeron, they got their players to play for each other. They instilled leadership in the players, and the players, other than the Joe Burrow season, LSU didn't have the best talent, but they had heart and they had dog, and they fought for each other. Brian Kelly didn't instill that. Jane Daniels was excellent, and the team underachieved. All right, with that said, where do we go from here? Scott Woodard is the athletic director. There is no president of the university. They're close. It's important because it plays into the search. And I apologize for taking so long on this, guys, but it's important. LSU hopes to have a new president of the university within about 2 weeks. The governor of the state of Louisiana is extremely involved in that process. Scotty Ballard runs the board of whatever it is, board of regents, board of supervisors, whatever it is. It's the board of governors, I think, of LSU. Scotty's a local business fan from the North Shore. Scotty's very involved. The governor is very involved. And it's believed in the next couple of weeks they will have a new president. It's Scott Roussel's belief it's going to wind up being Roos from McNeese. Anyway, he's a sports-related guy. He would be very invested in this. The question is, when that new president comes in, does he lean on Scott Woodward to make this hire or not? And depending on who it is, the answer might be not. So when you speak with agents about, hey, what's most likely to play out here, their response is, we don't have any ideas making a hire. We really don't. Scott Woodward in name will be, you know, putting out press releases, but is Verge Osbury really the guy driving things? Is Scott the guy? Are the donors? Is this the governor? There's a lot of questions. I mentioned Verge Osbury. Verge is basically the number two in athletics. Been at LSU for a very long time. Very in tune politically, just like Scott Woodward is. Very close to the governor. Verge, Scott Roussel, believes will have a lot of influence in this one. Verge will be doing a lot of the work, getting to know the candidates. And it's also my belief, from speaking to everybody I speak with, that this search starts with Nick Saban. And Nick's reality is 73. He makes as much money from ESPN as he did coaching at Alabama. He also has massively successful outside ventures. Everybody knows about the car dealerships. He also has a lot of other investments. Personally, I don't think Nick wants to take on the stress of jumping back into the SEC right here. right now on this day and age at 73 years old. But I think that's where the first call is. After that, it becomes interesting. All right. I've spoken for far too long. John Bryce, I know you have a lot of intel. I spoke with a lot of people about this one. Give me your thoughts on lay of the land.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, everyone would be derelict not to pick up the phone and call Nick Saban, whether that's Penn State or whether that's LSU, and you can call him and simply pick his brain because he's as close to a de facto czar still in the sport as what we've got in college football. But he's making tremendous money at ESPN. Indications are he's among that network's highest paid college personalities. No stunner there. He's finally discovered he has a great life, and he defers very wisely to Miss Terry. And Miss Terry has made it clear that she's not real interested in him going back into coaching and taking away all that time from their retirement and from their grandkids. So you pick Nick Saban's brain, you figure out who he thinks is realistic or who you could potentially go after. He certainly understands LSU, even though it's been a couple of decades since he was there. He understands the landscape very well. He's still very revered there in the Bayou. And so you lean in on that perspective, but you're not going to get anywhere with him, in my opinion, and based on everyone I've talked to for the last 2 weeks, honestly, since the Penn State job opened up. But beyond that, LSU is a great job. You made a great point moments ago, Scott, one that I picked up on for a long time through the years when I worked at Rivals and 247 Sports and covered more recruiting. And that is, for the longest time, kids in the state of Louisiana and in that region would rather play for LSU than they would have rather played for the Saints. Like, that was the perspective that I picked up through the years. It's like, it meant more to play for LSU than it meant to play for the Saints. And the landscape of college football particularly has changed a little bit in recent years. It's much more about fit and free agency. And so LSU still has an important and very fertile recruiting background, but it's not the same. It's not the same. It's the same I said about Florida. That job is not the same as it was 5 or even 10 years ago, because of those built-in advantages of recruiting in your backyard. They're mitigated right now by the free agency in the sport. But LSU is a great job. I would contend, of the ones open right now, that it's probably the best job out there open right now. I think it's definitely better than Penn State. I think it's a tick better than Florida as well.
I mean, I hear, Scott, what you said, and Nick Saban's describing the recent history of LSU. Nick Saban's the greatest coach of his generation. Ed Orgeron and Les Miles are certainly accomplished gentlemen, but no one's going to put them in the team picture for their greatest coach of their generation, and they won national championships. And to echo your point, John, I think, in my opinion, the conversation for best job in college football is LSU and Ohio State. And at LSU, you have a talent-rich state where you're the only Power Four program there. And as coaches, you don't have to put a whole lot of pressure on your local guys to stay home, because the people in their lives, in their communities, do that for you. And it's not 2010 anymore, where you can build a fence around your state. And certainly Nick Saban had plenty of success for recruiting LSU, but you have the state of Louisiana to yourself. 4 hours to your east, or to your west, excuse me, is Houston. 4 hours to your west is Pensacola. There's a whole lot of talent within there that you can go cherry pick guys. So I think this is, and Scott and you and I talked about it, there are a lot of SEC coaches that didn't ultimately work at LSU that pointed at LSU as the best job in college football. So my question is, I think they have all the ability to go out and hire a great one. My question is, and we don't have the answer because they don't have the answers, where does the buck ultimately stop at this search? When the five people are in the room making that decision, three guys look and say, yeah, I like this guy, I like this guy. They're all going to look at one person and say, do you approve? Right. And we don't know who that person is.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
And I do think Austin Thomas will have a pretty strong voice in this search. I know he's seen right now maybe as a quote-unquote Scott Woodward guy, but his time at LSU predates Scott. His experience, obviously, he was at Ole Miss with Lane. He was at USC with Lane. He's been at the University of Tennessee. He's got some pretty unique perspective. So I think this is more collective than it is a singular force making the decision for LSU. But I do think that Austin will have some voice in it, and Austin's contacts around the country will help him have a voice in this, in my opinion.
Doug, you're a high school football coach. What is the job of the head football coach?
I mean, I think you nailed it early on. Like, you've got to get everyone on the same page, everyone pulling the chain in the same direction. You know, after Brian Kelly's dismissal, it was – you didn't have to look far to find stories of Brian Kelly and how he treated people, and it was very much in the opposite direction that Ed Orgeron was. And I think LSU is one of those places – that fit is probably more important than anything. And there you could argue there's no coach in LSU history that was a better fit than Ed Orgeron. Was he a great head coach? That's to be debated. I think he caught lightning in a bottle a couple times with you know, having Joe Burrow and Justin Jefferson and some of those receivers there, and some of the staff that he put together, which he deserves a lot of credit for. Was he a great head coach? I think that can be argued. But LSU, unlike some of the other top programs, I think Ohio State and Texas are also in that conversation as some of the best jobs in college football. But those two jobs are unique in that you can probably hire someone that isn't a Louisiana guy, or LSU just seems to me like one of those places that fit is so, so important. I think maybe they tried to go back in the time machine and, you know, recreate the Nick Saban hire and hiring Brian Kelly in a lot of ways. But the game has changed so much that you can't be reaming a kid out on the sideline and expect them to want to come back and play hard for you in another year. It's very transactional. If you're not successful, Nick Saban can get away with that because he's got the success to back it up. Brian Kelly, I think that's where he fell short a little bit.
I think that's real quickly, I'd just like to say, I think that's a great point by Doug, because Brian Kelly had a much more CEO corporate suite type of approach to running his organization. And I've said before, probably Brian Kelly's best strength in being a college football coach has actually been his CEO approach. He's never been a warm and fuzzy. He's always been a delegator. He's always tried to hire a good staff and then, again, operate it truly like corporate America. And Doug is right. Like, you can't do that at LSU, especially if you're not Nick Saban.
Doug, so I see it a little bit different. You know, you said, you know, a coach these days can't be seen on the sideline reaming a guy and think and believe he's going to come back and play next year for you. So I see it differently. I see it if players know you love them and you want them to be their best and you're trying to hold them to their highest standard, the standard they should seek for themselves, you can get on them and say, this is not what we've been practicing. We got to work on this. We've talked to you about this. Let's get together and get better. You can do that if it's coming from love and if it's coming from, I will help you get there. If it's coming from demeaning and being like, you're trash, you're not coachable, you shouldn't even be on this team, that's where you lose a guy. And I think that's what players felt from Brian Kelly, whereas I think from O, and even from Les, he was such an odd duck. But the players loved him. When those guys were let go, you saw the players being like, hey, I know it didn't work out, but man, I love you. And you see players inviting those guys to their weddings and things like that. BK is not getting invited to a lot of guys' weddings.
Yeah, to piggyback off that, Scott, what I talk to other coaches and what I've talked about in interviews before is it's an emotional piggy bank. Like, you've got to put deposits in the piggy bank by showing you care about kids far beyond the X's and O's and the sideline. And then when it's time to take a withdrawal, you've got deposits in there that you can go in there and take a withdrawal from. It's absolutely an emotional piggy bank. I think Ed Orgeron probably did an elite job of that off the field, right? But with Brian Kelly, you saw a lot of players that were hurt, that their experience was once they were no longer valuable on the field, they saw a totally different Brian Kelly, and you can't have that in today's day and age.
Agreed. All right, so let's turn the page. Assuming Nick Saban doesn't say yes, seems like you have Lane Kiffin and John Sumrall. very different guys. Some are all, I mean, obviously everybody knows Lane, right? Lane to me seems pretty happy in Oxford. He loves having his brother there. You know, it's been losing both parents. Lane seems to me pretty locked in Oxford. I know LSU can make a pitch, and Lane loves O, and Lane would like to have O back in the fold if he did that, which complicates all sorts of things. I personally just don't see Lane leaving, but who knows? Sumrall has done it, right? He, you know, won at Troy. He's won extremely well at Tulane with none of the resources compared to what LSU has. He's like seriously become beloved in Uptown New Orleans, which is literally an hour away from here, drawing some fans and some eyeballs away from LSU, which was unthinkable for a long, long time. Is it anyone other than those two?
It's possible this could be the most complicated search in recent college football history. And it's also possible that it could be the simplest search in recent college football history. You get those people in the room. We don't know currently who those people are, where the power will lie in those people. But if they all agree it's John Sumrall, do you need to make it any more complicated than that?
No, no. I mean, I agree with that. I think that, but to the point of like, LSU, kind of the way, and again, Scott, you live there. You know it so much better than me, but I have been fortunate to get down there through the years numerous times, both to cover games and just to attend games as a guest of folks there in the program. And it is unique. It does have some special qualities, and I do sense that LSU would lean into the personality of Lane Kiffin so incredibly hard. And Ole Miss has in recent years, but LSU – like, they want to have that swagger. They don't just want to win. Like, they loved Ed Orgeron because he talked crazy in his own – in the way he sounded. Lane talks crazy because he doesn't give a damn what he says. And just ask Brent Venables. He's left on the side of the road after his team was just left on the side of the road. So I think LSU has to make Lane Kiffin say no three times. Like, you don't take the first no and you don't take the second no. And the offer might be the same all three times because you're going at him from the very outset with your absolute best offer, but you're still making him say no multiple times because that guy gets it. He gets the SEC. He gets the rivalry. He knows how to needle people. He would say all the right things for your on and again, off again now rivalry with Florida. He would say all the right things about your rivalry with Alabama. You know, Mike Elko would, I'm sure, hate having to see Lane Kiffin coaching LSU talent like that year in and year out, even though he's still dealing with him in the SEC. So John Sumrall is a absolute ball coach. My feelings on John Sumrall have been made crystal clear. As great a coach as he is, I think he's every bit that and more of a human being. And so there's a lot of merit to that. And if I was handicapping this race, I would say, yeah, it's those two versus the field. And typically I'm a big field guy. I like the chance to play the odds and win big. But in this one, I would take those two and not the field.
The thought of Lane, I mean, we know what Lane's currently – he went and beat Oklahoma with a Division II, former Division II quarterback. And thought of Lane's quarterback ability with the ability of receivers that seemingly flock to LSU every single year, yep. That's scary for the rest of the country.
I've gotten to know Sumrall pretty well over the last, say, 10 years. And I knew him when he was at Tulane way back when as an assistant or at San Diego and even Tulane. And then Ole Miss, and obviously got to spend time with him in Kentucky and Troy and now in New Orleans. Sneaky, funny guy. Boy, you need a man to pull out some zingers. He's got him right there with Lane. He just doesn't get the national TV opportunities that Lane does all the time. Sumrall, New Orleans loves the guy. And LSU sees that. And don't think it's not something that LSU was like, hey, not only would we get better, we'd make two lanes back a little bit. I mean, I'm telling you, it's a thing. Oh,
yeah. I find that hilarious and 100% believable.
Absolutely, no doubt about it.
I don't think there are, I don't think there are very many candidates that like LSU would be excited about as a group of five coach coming in, but John Summerall, I feel like would rally the fan base. Like they could absolutely get behind that. Just the way he's won over New Orleans in a year. A year as that coach, he's obviously been there before, but I think that's absolutely vital to this conversation too.
I find it funny. I can't imagine Texas ever saying, you know what, we need to knock Rice down a peg. Ohio State being like, Bowling Green getting all this shine really makes me mad. But LSU wanting to kneecap Tulane makes sense to me.
It really does. So timing is a thing, right? So we're late October. And, you know, there's been a lot of speculation that if Auburn makes a move on Hugh, that Summerall is the Alabama son to bring back home. So LSU wants to, like, it. I mean, they can get an answer from Jimmy pretty quickly on Lane. They can have the conversation, and it's going to be fairly clear. It might not be public, but they should be able to read the room pretty quickly with Jimmy and Lane. Obviously, Lane's not going to have the conversation with LSU, but Jimmy Sexton will, and they should have an answer there pretty quickly. Summerall is I mean, dude's all in on Tulane, and you got a lot of season left to go. So the timing is a tough one.
The timing is huge, especially with Tulane now really as the best G5 odds for the playoffs. Or Tulane and Memphis, I think, are side by side, and those two teams play on not this Friday, but the next in a game at Memphis that will be it'll be a playoff eliminator, and one of those two teams will be further ensconced in the race and there for the duration probably, and one of those teams will suffer its second loss and be knocked from the wayside. And so timing is key, but this is not a case where you look at their schedules and say, okay, Memphis and Tulane are both going to keep winning, and they don't play until the Friday after Thanksgiving. Well, no, they play the second Friday or the first Friday in November, actually. They play the first Friday in November, Friday, November 7th. So you'll have a greater idea then. You do have the early signing period coming up in December again, but now you have the move transfer portal. So while timing is important, you're not facing the specter for any of these open jobs that you were a year ago when the portal was opening December 16th through the 28th or the 28th through January 11th, or I forget the exact window, but it opened the third week of December last year, and it's not doing that this year. It does not open till the day after New Year's Day. It does not open till only four teams are left playing college football. So I do find that element. None of this is being done out of an abundance of patience. Like, everyone is impatient, which is why coaches are getting fired 2 weeks after being ranked in the top 10. But the flip side of that is the calendar reality is that the portal doesn't open until January 2nd. And so you do, if you're involved with the guy you believe is the right person to lead your program and you trust in his vision, you know that his vision can't set you up in the portal until after the new year.
I think, while no means is it going to be easy, I think LSU is better situated to survive this period than almost any program, certainly any program that's going to come open this year. For what we said earlier is that someone else put this on Twitter, and I forget who, but I think they're exactly right, is you're not going to see a lot of LSU commits come out and say, I committed to LSU because of Brian Kelly and only Brian Kelly. They committed to play for LSU, and I thought it was humorous that LSU got a commit yesterday. He flipped a wide receiver. They flipped from Louisiana Tech. I viewed that as just kind of an FU from the LSU staff to Brian Kelly, just to prove that they could go out and do that. So at the same time, I mean, you've got the number one defensive lineman in the country currently committed to you, Lamar Brown, who I believe plays for University Lab right there in Baton Rouge. I know A&M is going to be hard after him, but when you're the number one player in the country, there are financial aspects, decisions that are made to where you go. But I think LSU can ride this out. And if it gets to January 1st and everyone around you doesn't have a coach or has a coach by then and you don't, I think it's going to be, you know, the elephant in the room, silence speaks louder than, you know, it's going to be obvious if LSU hasn't filled, Florida has, Auburn, Florida State, whatever, all those jobs are filled, and John Sumrall, Ole Miss are waiting to go play in their January 1st bowl game. And I think it's going to be obvious by that point.
All right. So I don't think this is going as far as nuclear winter, but let's play out the hypothetical. If Sumrall gets hired at LSU, you got Blake Baker as current defense coordinator who played football at Tulane. Does Blake go to Tulane as the next head football coach of the Green Wave?
They just swap houses.
I mean, straight up. They literally might just.
Well,
they do it.
Yeah.
Sumrall left Troy and Jared Parker took his house. Straight up.
It happens all the time. Yeah.
Happens all the time.
Got a hell of a pool house there, too, let me tell you.
Rice stayed there.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And let's be clear. I said this maybe on a radio spot yesterday. What ultimately did Brian Kelly in at LSU was his failure after losing Mike Denbrock to recapture some offensive magic. But he made a great hire on the defensive side of the ball. And Brian Kelly didn't get fired Sunday because of Blake Baker and his defense. And Blake Baker is still going to be a head coach. And the Tulane fit would it's not often one could dovetail as nicely as that one could potentially dovetail.
So Tulane's, Shiel Wood came with Sumrall and then with Texas Tech. And so I'm just saying, Zach, you never know. Mm-hmm. Nuclear winter abounds. It's coming, folks. It's coming. I don't know if we're going to top real life, but it's coming.
I literally had an idea that came to me while we were taking this. It's incredibly stupid, and I think will fit the piece wonderfully.
What a tease,
folks. The bizarreness, everything about nuclear winter comes from Zach Barnett's brain. He's a sick individual, and we're happy to have him. We love you. All right. LSU is going to hire a football coach. It's going to be pretty exciting. There might be some drama. There usually is. We'll see. This one seems pretty clear, but see how it plays out. Figure out who's making the hire, LSU. Go Tigers.